Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have plans this afternoon? I'm not sure what we are going to do. It seems like there was something important happening this afternoon, but its importance has sort of waned over the last few weeks. I know that there are fans for both teams. I see some fans representing today, but I am not a fan of either team. My favorite team chose not to participate in the playoffs this year. So I've been rooting for the teams that I think have an interesting storyline, which has not been good for those teams, because every team I've rooted for during the playoffs has lost, which leaves these two teams. But I actually think I'm still going to watch the game, if for the commercials, if for nothing else. But I don't know that if I've ever actually purchased anything because of a commercial that I've watched, even a Super Bowl commercial. I can't remember a time where I could tie a purchasing decision to having seen a commercial. I've been entertained by some of them, and I fast-forwarded some of them, but I don't remember buying anything because of them. Now, I have undoubtedly been introduced to a new product or been introduced to a new movie that's coming out or a TV show. Maybe I've watched those. And I've certainly learned something new about a product or a new feature or something. But I just can't really tie seeing them with a purchasing decision. In our gospel reading this morning, we read two stories that, like these Super Bowl ads, serve to both introduce Jesus to those who don't know him and also serve to reveal something about Jesus that somebody who did know who he was may not have known before. And our reading this morning comes immediately after the Sermon on the Plain. And in Luke's gospel, the Sermon on the Plain is similar to the Sermon on the Mount that we find in Matthew's gospel, although it's much shorter. And both the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount offer a new and startling lens through which to see the world and those around it. You know, if you're not familiar with it, the reminder, blessed are those who are poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who are hungry, for now you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Things we probably wouldn't have necessarily put together. Well, the Sermon on the Plain follows last week's reading about working on the Sabbath that we talked about. And prior to that, Jesus called the fishermen, Simon Peter, James, and John, to drop their nets and to follow him in order that they might be catchers of people. Think back a few weeks further back, and we read about Jesus preaching his first sermon in his hometown synagogue, where he read from the scroll of Isaiah, and Jesus proclaimed that he was the fulfillment of what he read that day. He read about the coming Messiah who was anointed to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. This morning's stories, as well as the remainder of Luke's gospel, show the world that Jesus is indeed the fulfillment of this prophecy from Isaiah. Throughout this winter and into the spring, we will see and read time and time again from Luke how Jesus has fulfilled that prophecy. For Jesus, according to Luke, came to turn the world on its ear, to turn it totally upside down and inside out. Jesus came to get the attention of the world, much like a Super Bowl ad, in order to reveal who he is and what he has come to do. In Luke, Jesus causes concern for the religious authorities because he didn't show a preference for those who were rich or powerful or elite. In fact, he largely stayed away from the political and religious center of Jerusalem, preferring instead to stay among the towns and the villages, the hills and the lakes, where the more common folk lived. In fact, in Luke's gospel, Jesus goes to Jerusalem twice. The first time when he's a teenager and he gets left behind by his parents, which we read about previously. And again, he returns to Jerusalem with the disciples to celebrate the Passover meal on the night when he was betrayed and arrested and tried and crucified. But Jesus didn't just come for those on the margins either. He didn't just come for the disenfranchised, the neglected, and the poor. In fact, Jesus came for those who are in power as well. But in a culture that really separates the haves and the have-nots, if Jesus had spent all of his time with the haves, the have-nots would have assumed that they weren't worthy of his love and his message. They would have assumed that once again they weren't worthy and would have assumed they would not have been accepted by Jesus. But by spending his time on the margins, by spending most of his time with the have-nots, he demonstrated that he has in fact come for all people, even or especially the people who had little to offer him in return. The two stories that we read this morning work together, I think, to demonstrate this very point. The first story is about this centurion who demonstrates that even those in positions of power and influence still have needs that they can't meet themselves. Even the most powerful people have needs that they can't meet themselves. As a result, they too humbly can approach Jesus with their petitions and requests. The centurion soldier worked for the Roman Empire. He was not a Jew, he was a Gentile. He was among the oppressors whose allegiance was to the empire, more so than to the people within the empire. And yet these Jewish elders in our reading went to Jesus on this centurion's behalf. They appealed to Jesus earnestly to heal the centurion's slave. You see, they were happy to intercede for the centurion and his slave because the centurion had actually been responsible for building their synagogue. And even though Jesus didn't know this man, and he may not have even known these Jewish elders, he went with them to this Gentile's home. As a Jew going to a Gentile's home, he would have been rendered unclean. And Jesus still agreed. And when he was near his home, the centurion's friends came out. They told Jesus he didn't need to come all the way. The centurion didn't want to bother him. He knew he was busy, as he himself is busy. And he says, just say the word and my slave will be healed. Here the centurion demonstrates his faith in Jesus by asking him to do the thing that he couldn't do for his slave himself. Jesus, who was about to do something amazing himself, we read that he is amazed at the faith of this man. Not even in Israel, Jesus says, have I found such faith. Or said another way, not even among the people of my own faith have I found anyone with faith as strong as this man's faith. Throughout the Gospels, we read about people being amazed by Jesus and all the things he says and all the things he does. But here Jesus is the one who is amazed. Amazed by the faith of this man who was not a man of faith, who was not a Jew. The centurion, although a man of wealth, power, and influence, would have been considered an outsider to those who followed Jesus. He would have been considered an outsider. He had all that wealth and power and influence, but he was not the targeted demographic for who people perceived Jesus was here to come, to gather, to heal, to offer hope. However, when the centurion's people approached Jesus, he heard them and was attentive to his needs. Jesus met the centurion at his point of need, and he provided healing for his servant. In the second story about this young man who had died, who was the only son of a widow, There are few people who would be lower on the social strata than a widow who didn't have a son. As such, she wouldn't be able to care for herself. She wouldn't be able to own property. She was really without many options. And Jesus encountered this dead son of the widow on his way into this town called Nain. And the widow, unlike the centurions, the Jewish elders who approached Jesus for the centurion, the widow does not approach Jesus. In fact, it's not even clear if the widow saw Jesus. We know that she was emotional. We know that she was surrounded by a crowd. But Jesus saw the widow. And when Jesus saw her, he had compassion for her. Compassion is not empathy, where you can imagine another people's pain or grief. Compassion is the sharing of another person's experience. Compassion means literally to suffer with. Jesus had compassion for this widow. He suffered with this widow. He joined her in her grief. And then he says something that I wouldn't advise you telling somebody who's grieving the loss of a loved one. He says, "Do not weep." But Jesus can get away with it. He gets away with it because he knows that he is going to remove the reason for her tears by what he's about to do next. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us," referring to Jesus, not the boy that he had raised from the dead, but Jesus. God has looked favorably on his people. That, I believe, is the main point that Luke is trying to make clear through both of these stories. God looks favorably upon God's people. God looks favorably upon all of God's people. We know from Scripture and elsewhere that God's people includes all people, Jews and Gentiles, centurions and widows, rich and poor, slave and free, male and female, immigrant, refugee, natural-born citizen alike. Jesus didn't come just to redeem the rich or powerful, the influential or the elite. No, Jesus came for all people. And he went to great lengths to demonstrate that his life-saving love was intended for those with little to offer him in return other than themselves. Jesus came as a prophet foretold to bring good news to those who didn't have much good news in their lives. And the good news for them and for us is that God has in fact looked favorably upon all God's people. During the big game this afternoon, hopefully there will be some memorable commercials. There typically are. One of the commercials that we'll see is going to air in the first half of the game, at least according to the internet. And it's one of those "He Gets Us" ads. Are you familiar with those? It's a part of a campaign by a group of Christian billionaires who are trying to use their wealth for the sake of the gospel. And I haven't seen a preview of this particular ad, but I hope it's consistent with the rest of their campaign that echoes our story this morning. These ads serve to communicate that Jesus did in fact come for all people, and that he knows the pain of human existence. He knows the challenges of living a human life. Oftentimes, there's images of people from all walks of life on the screen demonstrating what they're going through. And typically, it begins and it ends with the words, "He gets us." Jesus gets us. He meets us in our grief. He meets us in our pain. He meets us in our fear, as Mr. Justin was telling us and the kids before. He meets us in our joy as well. He meets us in our thanksgiving, and he meets us in our good fortune as well. Jesus gets us, and he wants us to get him in order that we too might receive the healing, life-giving love that he came to share with all of creation. Amen.